This is ESPN Radio.
To the second hour on a Football Friday, Bart Hunt, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio on ESPN Plus as well. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And we go now to the Goodyear Hotline where all guests join us to say hello to Harry Douglas. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. How you doing?
Good. Now, listen, before we get into the football stuff, I got to already have a chat with you about a tweet you put up about the Atlanta Hawks. Now, I know you're an Atlanta guy. I understand. But, I mean, to tell me that they're so deep, it's two guys. It's Cam Reddish. It's Kevin Huerter. After that, who you got? I mean, come on. Let's be honest. How deep do you really go? You got a great starting five and two guys off the bench.
Listen. I don't know what you've been drinking on, but obviously it's something that'll have you buzz, because for you to not say the Hawks are deep is just crazy to me. You got Trae Young, you have Bogey, you have John Collins.
They're starters.
You have DeAndre Hunter. Right.
You're giving me their starters. Everybody's got five.
But you have Gallinari, you have Gorgui Dieng, Louisville alum, because you know that's where I'm from.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Cam Reddish. Not to mention, I got a big drafted that I like a lot. I like a lot. Point guard position. Who do you think I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about. I know. Yeah.
Sharif Cooper.
Yeah, I know. Everybody loves Sharif Cooper.
He's going to be a guy. He's going to be a guy down the line that I think is going to be able to contribute. And it might not even be this year, but you go into next year, the year after that, he's going to be a guy, I'm telling you, that everybody's going to be talking about, because he has a first-round talent, and they was able to get him in the second round.
Listen, man, I know it's Christmas, and I know you'll probably want to be with your family. But I need you to be in New York for that game. I need to sit with
Trust
you during
me,
that game.
I wish I could. Because, first of all, I'm already mad at the NBA. Because I understand it's Madison Square Garden. My brother played at Madison Square
That's
Garden.
Right,
so
did.
I know how electrifying Madison Square is. But for them to put that Christmas Day game in New York and not Atlanta after we stumped them in the playoffs was the most disrespectful thing I ever heard of in NBA basketball history.
Well, you can understand why. You can understand why. Because you saw the game on Wednesday night. It got the best rating in 18 years in ESPN, and building was packed with passion. Then I turned on the game last night, and I'm like, where is everybody? There's nobody there. How good of a team can you have if nobody wants to come watch you play? That's all I got to say. And your brother played for the Knicks. Tony Doug is one of my favorite guys I covered, and you're going to have that kind of blasphemy. Come on now.
He did. But listen, I think it should have been in Atlanta. And for Atlanta last night, you know, we had the Braves playing. You had a lot of things going on.
Bart, I'm hearing excuses.
Probably watching that game.
Bart, I'm hearing excuses.
Hey.
I'm hearing excuses.
But listen, the game should not be in New York. Especially, they don't deserve the game to be in New York. They didn't even get out the first round last year.
Trae Young's balding.
And by the way,
just get my
buddy Harry.
You know what I'm gonna do? You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna put up a picture of Trae Young bowing at half court after he hits the dagger.
Exactly.
You know what he did last year.
As soon as he did that, I sent him an email telling him to go call Wes Walker so he can fill that ball spot up. out there looking like El DeBarge.
Harry Douglas joining us right now. Excuse me, on the Goodyear Hotline. 9 years in the NFL as a wide receiver, certainly knows what he's talking about. So let's get into that stuff. First and foremost, last night, did we see something out of the Browns in Case Keenum that might have cost Baker Mayfield some money?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, coming into this season, I actually thought the simple fact that, okay, Baker Mayfield hasn't put it all together yet in his career. And the money talk is on the line for him. So I thought this was going to be one of the best years that Baker Mayfield would have in his career. That has not been the case. But then you look at all his surrounding pieces. He has everything around him. So you look at last night, and you see what Case Keenum did last night against the Denver Broncos, right? So you look at this entire picture. And I'll be honest, if I'm a GM, if I'm an owner, if I'm a head man, I can't give Baker Mayfield $40-something million a year to be my starting quarterback. And we can win with a guy who can get it done, who can take care of the football, and just do what I ask of him. And he has the track record with Kevin Stefanski when he was in Minnesota. So I think Baker Mayfield, man, that big payday is getting questioned on multiple levels right now.
You know, we all have to have these intimate conversations with ourselves, and some of the best players I've ever been around had self-awareness, understanding what their value was. And he understands that his value is probably greater to Cleveland than any other organization because he's a homegrown talent. So, I mean, if you're Baker Mayfield's people, he's making a lot of money off the field with the Progressive stuff, and I'm not counting another man's money, but would you suggest to him that, hey, maybe giving the team, you can look like a hero. You can paint it any way you want. Hey, I don't want to lose some of my guys that are going to eventually have to get paid. When you talk about the corners they have, some of the guys they got coming up, say, hey, man, I'll take $30 million, look like the hero. $30 million is still $180 million over 6 years, opposed to saying, okay, well, get rid of me and be one of these guys that bet on themselves. They ended up without a job, a starting job, in the next couple of years.
I can't pass up $30 million a year. I understand. Listen, these quarterbacks and these agents want these guys to get paid big money.
Yeah.
But one of the things I think, Bart, we've seen of late is that this quarterback market thing doesn't always tell the truth about the value of the quarterback, right? So at the same time, it's about looking in the mirror and understanding who you are. Like, you can't go in there asking for $40 million a year if your performance isn't $40 million a year, right? Especially on a team that a lot of people had high hopes on going to the playoffs and possibly making a Super Bowl this year, right? You gotta self-reflect and understand who you are, understand what the team is, understand that you have the surrounding pieces for this team to be great, but you aren't getting it 100% done. So all that has to play into factors. So the agent, I think sometimes players got to understand that the agent does work for you. And, like, I love – one of the best things that happened in football, I think, was with T.J. Watt, right? He went in and told the Steelers, hey, we got a deal. We get what my agent talking about, we have a deal.
Right.
I think that more of that stuff needs to go on, because sometimes these agents drag these guys through the limb, and next thing you know, teams get upset and they don't get the money that they want.
Yeah, the value, again, for Baker in Cleveland is because Cleveland's been looking for a quarterback forever.
Just ask Schroeder.
And it's there's another one too. Right. Dennis Schroeder.
You should have saw him. I went to the game on Wednesday, and every time Schroeder threw up the ball, he was like, $80 million.
Harry Douglas joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Harry, Bart is seeing upset alert this week,
and
he sees it, and you know he bleeds purple. But he believes the Bengals can pull the upset off the Ravens, and it could really shake up that division. What do you see there?
Well, first of all, you look at Joe Burrow. I think he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league within the next 2 or 3 years. The guy's playing lights-out football. But and I think it helps when you have a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, a guy that he played with at LSU. You look at the things that he's doing, the way he's delivering the football. You look at Joe Mixon and that guy, but then you look at Wilson at the linebacker position. Trey Hendrickson, he's coming along, a guy that they got in free agency from New Orleans. You got Bates, and then you got Von Bell. You got Sam Hubbard. You got all these guys, DJ Reader, Eli Apple. They have some guys on defensively that can get it done. But I will say this, another guy that's a Louisville alum, because I'm right here in Louisville right now. I'm in Louisville right now, guys, as we speak. And I would never disrespect Lamar Jackson.
Are you there for the Hall of Fame induction?
He is.
Yeah.
Harry's getting he and Lamar together.
I know.
He and Lamar together.
Yep.
Hey, Harry.
See, Lamar's getting his jersey retired. He's only the second person in Louisville history, the first one being Johnny Unitas.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that on November 13th. This week, I think it's me, Elvis Dumervil, a guy I played with in Louisville as well.
We know Elvis. He's a Raven.
We're going into the Hall of Fame football wise, and it's, I think it's 3 or 4 more other people from other sports as well.
Hey, were you there?
That's still
a
great honor, man.
Hey, were you there when I came and I did the financial literacy program with you and Lamar?
No, because I'm older.
Okay.
Bart,
No, but he was still
young. How was Louisville like when you before you even with the
Bart,
Jets?
My last year at Louisville was 2007. Come on, Bart.
All right, okay.
He just looks
all right.
Young.
All right.
Everybody don't age like you, man. Come on, Bart.
That's all that stress, man. Listen, man, I got a little partial. You know.
Hey, Harry, I'll tell you, speaking of people that age quickly, anyone that's trying to make a tackle on Derrick Henry this season or the last couple of seasons would. That's an interesting game, too. When you think about Tennessee's at home, and Vegas has the Chiefs favored. But we know the Chiefs can't stop the run. Like when you look at that game and you see what, like if you were playing for, well, actually you did play for the Titans, but if you were still playing for the Titans and you saw that, yep, and you know what Derrick Henry can do and you know what that defense can't do, would you feel disrespected?
No, but let me give you guys a little history about the Tennessee Titans. And when I made this statement on First Take, everybody thought I was crazy. And this team, I predicted the Titans to go to the Super Bowl. They haven't even put things together yet. They haven't even been close to what they can be as a football team. And you see them winning football games. They beat the Bills. I was at the game on Monday night. And Derrick Henry. And when you can ride a guy like Derrick Henry. But let me show you guys a stat. When was Andy Reid's first year in in Kansas City? Was it 2000 and what? His first year. Was it 13?
13. It had to be 13 or 14, right?
Yeah.
So let me give you guys a little stat. You want to know Andy Reid's kryptonite? He's a Tennessee Titan. Since 2013, I think Andy Reid.
2013, he said.
He lost to him in 13. He lost to him in 14. He lost to him in 16. I was a part of that. And then he lost to him in the AFC wild card in 17. I was a part of that one. And then he lost to him in 2019. So it's just some about this Tennessee Titans organization team that has Andy Reid down pat. And you remember the AFC championship game that year? Mm-hmm. Is not too far ago, not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Tennessee was up in that game, mm-hmm. and Kansas City had to come back. Yeah, so it's some about the Titans that has the Chiefs' number, man. I think they're going to do it again this weekend on the back of Derrick Henry.
Well, I agree with you, and it's because it's what it is. It's the brand of what Tennessee has always represented. You know, they remind me much of the Steelers. Remember, they used to be in the same division with the Steelers and the Ravens, and they've exactly. always been built with that type of toughness, that philosophy. You talk about Jeff Fisher, how he built his teams. You know, Derrick Henry's just a modern-day Eddie George, right, with a little bit more speed and better catching the ball. He's the evolution. And, like, you know, Andy Reid has always, even when he was with the Eagles, always been about finesse. So his team was about finesse.
Exactly.
Even before, you know, Westbrook. Look, think about all the backs he's always had. Westbrook, he's always have a type of team that he builds and a philosophy, and it just doesn't mix well against physical teams that can punch him in the mouth. The only equalizer is the fact that Mahomes is able to overcome the X's and O's.
Huh, you see that alley hoop I just threw to Bart? Listen, that's the main thing I wanted Bart to say. Physicality beats finesse majority of times.
Yeah, and that's what this weekend, that's what this matchup certainly is going to look like. Harry, I want to ask you a question about you just from your expertise as a wide receiver. As we're looking at a lot of quarterbacks in the league, we start to now want to power rank who's great, who's not, who deserves, you know, we've just talked about Baker and whether or not he's going to deserve a contract. But as you watch the league, and I know you watch everything very closely, who is the quarterback that you're like, I want him throwing me the ball? Who's the one guy that you would put number one as, if I could pick who I wanted to play with, that's the guy?
Aaron Rodgers, hands down, no question about it.
Wow.
A-Rod.
Now, why?
AR-12, excuse me.
Yeah, why?
Ever since I came into the football league, and I had an opportunity to play against Aaron Rodgers a lot of times. Mm-hmm. He had the number one seed in 2010. They squeaked into the playoffs. They came into our house, and off of Aaron Rodgers' arm, blew us out. And not only to blow us out, they went on to win the Super Bowl as well, but he can make every throw on the football field. And I love that I don't give a you-know-what attitude that he has. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that he's unapologetic about it. He's everything that you want in my eyes as a quarterback, a guy that has that moxie about him, right? A guy that understands who he is, a guy that's going to put the football majority of the times where you can catch it, probably 99.9% of the chance of the time. So he's a winner. Yes, he does own the Bears. And it's just a guy I would have loved to play with. To be honest.
Yeah, it's a great answer. It's a perfect one. He's seeing a lot of the 2010 Super Bowl team and this team that he's on right now.
Now, you said that Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears, but Tom Brady says he owns the color green. And last time that I checked, the Green Bay Packers wears green. So, man, what's a goal to a goblin?
I think he was referring to the Jets, Bart, but I know you don't want to admit that.
No, listen, Brady trolls.
Oh, no,
Brady
know.
Trolls. Like, you know how you always got somebody that you can't, like, Peyton Manning kills Brady.
Yes.
And Brady kills Rodgers.
Right.
And it's like weird how we always find, like, it's funny how
we
always
find it. But guys, let me tell y'all this, though. I think A-Rod, his attitude, and I think, Tom Brady going to Tampa and expressing himself is great for football.
Yes.
I love this Tom Brady that we've seen of late.
Petty Tom.
I don't like the conservative not talking, not mm-hmm. trolling nobody Tom that was in New England. I like talk your, you know what, Tom, mm-hmm. you deserve to. You're outgoing, let it show. I've never been a fan of guys not being able to be who they are and express themselves.
Yeah, listen, I think it's good for the sport. I completely agree. You want your stars being your most demonstrative players, and you want to hear what they really feel, and I think it makes it a lot of fun.
Tom's doing what all old people do, move to Florida and be unapologetic and say what the hell they want to.
I can't wait to do that.
Martin.
I can't wait to do that. I also can't wait to go to Atlanta in a couple of weeks and watch the Knicks put a spanking down there like they should have back in the spring. Harry, my man, good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
I can't wait. You better believe it.
Yeah. Harry Douglas again on the Goodyear Hotline. I like talking to him, man. Talk about a guy who has passion for the sport he played, just like you, passion for the sport he played, does all the homework as well, watches everything, knows everything. You can't stump him on naming players on teams, backups, all that stuff. Like, he does the work. So, love talking to Harry Douglas, no doubt about that. All right, Spartan Han, coming to you live from Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Bart, what do you say we get back to the calls? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. John in South Carolina wants to talk about the Browns. John.
Yeah, man, I'm predicting the Super Bowl next year for the Browns, playing the Packers, because Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the Browns and Baker is going to be on the Packers.
Stop it. Stop
Stay
it, John.
That is the weed. Man.
Come on. Aaron Rodgers is going to have many choices and many places to go. I don't see the Browns as a brand for him to go to. Do you, Bart? Like, that? Like, if he has options, Pittsburgh is a greater option in that division.
I mean, going down and joining forces, you know, Tom Brady, you say you own the color green. Well, guess what? I'm going to trade in for the color gold because Jameis Winston ain't going to be it.
You know, that's gotten real quiet all of a sudden, right? That whole thing with the Saints? Nobody's talked a lot about that. All right, back to the calls we go. Let's go to – it's Senya from San Francisco. Did I get that right, Senya?
Yeah, Senya's right.
Okay. How are you?
What's up, guys? Yeah, so first I want to let you guys know I'm a psychotherapist. And obviously a sports fan also, but I wanted to weigh on this Ben Simmons topic.
Yep.
And like, to me, I've been watching Ben Simmons since he was at LSU. And I think it's, I don't know if what he's saying right now, he actually believes or not, but it seems pretty clear to me that he has a lot of anxiety issues hopefully it was clear to everyone in the playoffs last year that he has anxiety issues that are to the extent that they're debilitating to him when he can't, you know, dunk or make a layup right in front of the basket, when he doesn't want to shoot three pointers because he doesn't want, because of how he'll, he's afraid of how, you know, he'll look.
Yeah.
In front of people.
Oh, I don't think
the way that he,
I'm saying to you that I can see all of that, right? Like, I think we can all see that.
Yeah.
We saw him lock up when he had a chance to make a layup or make a dunk. You saw him at the free throw line. All eyes are on him. All the attention's on him. Can you imagine if he had to deal with what Giannis dealt with at the free throw line, where the opposing crowd is counting?
Right.
Like, can you imagine how Giannis did with it? Now, everybody handles stress differently, but I think it's pretty clear that he's going through something like that. And for somebody that is
a
star, it is paralyzing his game. But you know what would be nice? Come out and say it. Come out and talk about it. Now, this right now is the latest, and it's making us skeptical because of how he behaved when he showed up in practice. And everybody caught them, and it was caught on video.
Sometimes when people have anxiety, they'll react in ways that make you sympathetic to them. They'll look nervous. Maybe they'll be jittery.
Right.
Maybe even, like, you remember LeBron James back in the day used to bite his nails on the bench, had that nail-biting issue. We obviously saw how the anxiety impacted him in that Dallas series, right?
Yes.
I assume he got some help or was able to resolve that in some way. But Ben Simmons reacts in a way where he acts aloof. He's like, he will avoid it. And he'll say, it seems to me at least, like, I don't know him, but just in my opinion, he'll just avoid it, and he'll just be like, whatever, I don't need that.
But understand what it looks like.
He's afraid of it.
But understand what it looks like.
It
sounds contrived, the fact that he decides to do this the day after they were going to force him to come back to work, right? So, like, he's trying to, you know, to me it still looks like he's having a hissy fit and trying to get his way out, you know, but trying to do, you know, like he's, you know, Harden or all the guys that have kind of forced their way out, and it's not working out for him. But he don't understand that Harden came to work, and he showed what to other teams what they would be getting.
Yeah, we have to say, and it's interesting stuff from Senya there, though. And as I mentioned at the very beginning of this topic, this is not something you take lightly. It is not something. It is something, though, that Bart and I both have said, you know, because of the timing and the context, it makes you pause and think, wait, are you using this or is this legit? And that, of course, is what's next.
If that's the case, step away, and you can't get the money that you – how do you expect me to pay you, what, $30 million this year – if you're not able to work? So then now we need to take half that money, and we can figure out, you know, through an arbitrator what you're deserving of. But then why are you talking about being traded?
They can argue it's the same thing as being injured. It's just
– no, it's not.
It's mental. Mental thing, not a physical thing, but it still should be treated as such, where if I'm injured, it's just not a physical injury.
We need to have you evaluated then. You got to go
through the
doctor.
That's what I believe he is.
Do all that stuff.
That's what Woj reported.
And then
that's the next step.
And then now I can't trade you. So now we need to void this whole deal because, yeah, I'll pay you this year, but let's void the other one. How far you want to go with this?
I don't think it's going to work that way.
You can't guarantee a whole deal if somebody's not able to fulfill 4 years of it. There's no injury.
Four years is a different story.
So you have injury.
But what if he's getting treatment? What if he says, okay, I've been evaluated.
How convenient.
They say I have an anxiety disorder, and now I have to have treatment, and I have to start to figure it out. So I'm going to need some time.
Okay.
It could be weeks, could be months. Okay. Who knows?
So you good? So when you good, guess what? You stand your ass right here.
Oh, I agree with that.
How
from
about
the Sixers
that?
Perspective, it's, so, oh, yes, okay, help yourself. Get yourself help, get right, and we'll be here waiting for you when you come
exactly.
back. That's how they have to handle it.
He's going to face that music.
That's what I want to see. Does this turn into he just has to get traded out of here? That means you're trying to get your own way. But if it's let me get myself, I got to get right, and then come back, we'll see if you're welcome with open arms because you then showed vulnerability, you were admitted that you have a problem, and you went and got it fixed. That could change everything. We have to see how this whole thing plays out. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, so coming up, there may be a real threat to the Lakers in the West, like a legit threat, and it's one from the past. We will discuss.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Next, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
Welcome back, Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Tracy Morgan, scheduled to join us at 2 o'clock. Going to get you pregnant, Bart Scott.
Hustle, man.
Courtside at the Garden on Wednesday night, part of the madness at Madison Square Garden. That game on ESPN got the best rating as they've gotten on a Wednesday season opener in the last 18 years. So it just shows you how much energy. And by the way, last night you had Steph Curry putting on another performance. I mean, that game was special. Like, we've gotten it. It's been a great start.
Is that what you were teasing?
Is that
what you were teasing?
I was dissing. Yes. The Warriors are kind of like letting you know you might want to keep an eye on that team.
Well, they are special. We wonder what Vegas was talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
We was like, Golden State, like what metric, what the hell are they looking at that got their metrics right there?
But if Steph puts more performances like that on a day where he was told he was one of the best 75 players in the history of the game.
Well, at least Michael Jordan, number one or number two on that list, said that he finally would admit that Steph Curry is a Hall of Famer.
So, yeah. You
know, he got the GOATs.
Only took a little time. So Steph Curry and more coming up on what, Bart Scott?
Audio fouls.
And we are presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting small businesses with specialized coverages for commercial vehicles. More at progressivecommercial.com. Before we get to the chef, and that is Curry, let's talk about Ben Simmons. But it's not us talking about the Ben Simmons story. How about somebody who knows what it is to win in Philadelphia, who's been part of winning in Philadelphia, who understands the fan base there and what they want and what they demand of you? And that is Jason Kelce, the center for the Eagles. He had this to say about the Simmons situation.
You write your own narrative. You know what's going on. I don't want to crush any other player. What's going on with the 76ers, Ben Simmons, stuff like that. All that is because of a lack of accountability, a lack of owning up to mistakes, and a lack of correcting things. If all that got corrected, if you're fixing free throws, if you're getting better as a player, none of this is happening. So everybody can complain about, you know, how tough this city is to play in. Just play better, man. The city will love you.
Sounds a lot of cities are like that. I think that's a message that you could say to
be a man.
I mean, if you ever had to talk, Bart, you and your experience, to talk to young players, and I've always said this, young players, young teams, and in New York, you've seen a lot of turnover of young rosters, teams, that these franchises that are trying to rebuild and go with young players, and then young players just get eaten up because they just don't understand. And they get frustrated. And he's talking about Ben Simmons. Here's Ben Simmons, a young guy who you could just see it. It all started caving in on him, and the pressure got to him, and he struggled with it. Now I just want out of here because I don't like playing here. And he's saying, when you get a young player that says, "Bar, what do they want from me?" What Kelce just said, that's what they want from you. Be honest, be open, and give your best. And be accountable when you suck. Say, "I sucked, and I got to be better."
And listen, that city has given him, has protected Ben Simmons for years.
They have.
As the outside media, outside
trust
critics
the process.
Would always say, "No, man, this dude is why he did, he's not this, blah, blah, blah." And like, he didn't pay them back by proving them right and proving everybody else that was critics wrong. Like, you talk about get better. Well, he hasn't tried to get better. Like, we just watched Giannis. Like, we would think that, okay, that
you talk about somebody that was, mocked for a weakness in his game.
The entire playoffs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And did he not still attempt to shoot threes? Did he scare up? Did he curl up in a ball? No. He shot the threes, and he was willing to live with the results. Why? Because he knows he's put the work in. Mm-hmm. I asked Ben Simmons, did you put the work in? Because maybe that's why you're afraid to take the shots, because the work ain't been put in, because you're too busy trying to be a celebrity and not be a professional basketball player. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to knock anybody what they do in their offseason, but all the time I see Ben Simmons, I see him hanging out with celebrities that are not basketball players. I see him, you catch Ben Simmons, you see him play at tennis in London. You see LeBron, where you see LeBron for the most part?
In the lab.
Like, immediately. Mm-hmm. The dude has the dude has a whole tunnel type of whole thing where he's on tunnel saying, "Oh, I use tunnel." Like, come on, man. I don't see Ben Simmons shooting no free throws, no nothing.
We have seen video, though, of Ben Simmons shooting threes in the offseason. And it looks very comfortable.
Yeah,
those always go viral.
They show the ones that went in.
And then we never see it when it comes to the season. So anyways, let's see how that whole situation plays out. One guy we know can shoot threes, Steph Curry. What a performance he had last night as the Warriors beat the Lakers on opening night. And then the other LA team, the Clippers, they beat them Thursday night, last night, at home in their building. And Steph Curry was, I don't know, how else do you describe it? He was Steph Curry.
Draymond, one dribble, looks for Curry, can't get it to him. Turns, now bounce pass out to Curry, a deep three, he got it, oh my goodness! About a step and a half from midcourt, gives the Warriors a one-point lead with a minute 50 to go!
And Draymond understood the assignment, right? He understood the assignment. They said that Steph Curry didn't miss a shot in warm-ups. So you know what? That means he's hot. I think we better get him the ball. Like, let's do that. And how about Steph, being one of the first players to have a 40-point game, but with hitting, hitting 8 three-pointers or more. I think he's done it 40 times. The next closest is James Harden at 18.
You give me stats. I like it.
I can do it every once in a while.
But how about this? So in the game, it was on TNT, and in the game, there was Paul George of the Clippers was mic'd up. And as they were trading threes, it was actually a fun ending to the game. It was very entertaining. They were trading threes, and Paul George kind of said to him, like, tell you what, let's make this fun. He's like, let me get one, and you get one, right? They kind of had that little, like, he was kind of telling him, like, let's have some fun with this. He said, let's make it interesting. I'll give you one. You give me one. And then Curry just said to him, basically, like, I haven't missed yet. And so then Paul George said, I'm from the logo with it. And so what did Curry do? Hit from the logo after that.
And they say, we don't want, I invented that shot, son. And they say, we don't want players trash talking. Oh. Really? What are we talking about?
That's
how you bring it out of each other. On football, it ain't taunting. You're like, yeah, I got you. So, all right, you got me? Oh, I got you. Coach, run my play.
Right.
Like, yeah, this is what we're missing.
The NFL has to reconsider that, no doubt about it. Meanwhile, when it's a big game and you're facing elimination, who do you need if you're the Dodgers? Chris Taylor. That's who you need. He didn't go for one. He didn't go for two. He had three home runs for the Dodgers last night to stave off elimination and now force a game six back in Atlanta as the Dodgers won that game 11-2 last night in game five of the National League Championship Series. Dave Roberts certainly loved what he saw.
I expected our guys to fight and scratch and claw, and I thought we did that. And it's going to be a crazy environment in Atlanta. We know that. I like the guys. We're going to be running out there, and we just got to go out there and play to win one game. So our backs are against the wall, and I don't expect to let down.
Can the Dodgers come back again? Last time they came back, it was last year they came back from an 0-2 deficit to the Braves to go on to the World Series. This one, down 3-1. Can they do it again, Bart Scott? Now, remember, last year, it wasn't with crowds and in home stadiums. It was in the bubble. So it's a much different scenario this time around. And the Dodgers needed heroic performance, and they got one from Chris Taylor. So we'll see where that goes from here. And, of course, all the coverage of Major League Baseball's playoffs you can hear on ESPN Radio. All right, that's Audio Files. Bart and Hama brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. How much baseball are you consuming, Bart Scott?
Probably about 25% of my sports consumption is baseball. I'm going to go probably 60% football, 20% basketball, and 2% miscellaneous hood rat wrestling.
Why'd you sound like Chappelle when you did that? Well, I mean, if you think about it, tonight, you got obviously some basketball. You got the Nets and the Sixers tonight on ESPN. Locally, you have the Knicks, who play in Orlando tonight as well. You got a bunch of NBA games. But you really don't have anything else to consume. Are you going to see if the Astros can put away the Red Sox tonight?
I think I'm rooting for
well, you know what? It's a hater's ball, man.
You know what? Let's go with the old black guy. That's how I pick. Yeah, let's go.
That's how you're going to do it?
Yeah, I'm going with the old
You just going to root for Dusty?
I'm going for Ben Vereen. No, I'm not so Let's go for – I'm telling you, he looks like somebody's old uncle, man. I'm telling you, man.
He does have that look about him, the way he talks and everything. He does have that uncle feel now.
Like he's either pulling up in a Ford F-150 pickup truck or he got a conversion van. But he tell you what, he going to fix your car with whatever you got. Go over there and get me a hanger.
He does remind me of somebody that does that. You got to coordinate. He's got that whole appeal about him, right?
He's sitting there. He got the toothpick. He got the cool menthol 100 cigarette.
Oh, he's got
there.
That, right.
Like, yo, unk.
Hanging on his lip.
Unk. My car stopped, man. We're going to miss a minute. Man, turn this pipe truck. Man, come on, man. You this problem. Your carburetor all messed up. You know what I'm saying? Go get me some Tic Tacs. You know what I'm saying?
Give me some Scotch tape, Tic Tacs,
and a wire hanger.
And a wire hanger. I'll fix it. In a second.
Just come on back around here about 3:30. Bring me some burners and some pop and some Pepsi, and I'll get this fixed for you.
Yeah, I guess it is easy to root for Dusty, but it is not easy to root for the Astros. But if you're a Yankees fan and you have no choice, and who do you want to see advance? One of them's got to go. Who's it going to be? You hate Astros. The Red Sox, right? You hate the Red Sox. It's the most difficult thing to do. Anyways, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We'll continue with your calls. If you want to answer that question, you can let me know. The lesser of two evils, Astros or Red Sox in the World Series. Let us know. Coming up, the NBA revealed its 75th anniversary team. Who was left off? We'll discuss. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is ESPN Radio.
Welcome back. Bart and Han, ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. Bart Scott, we have now the Dodgers staving off elimination, so that series will now move to Atlanta, and you'll get a game 6 out of that series. And it's been a lot of excitement and drama in that NLCS. And then tonight, you have the Red Sox, who are facing elimination as they play the Astros in the ALCS. And I know it's the lesser of two evils of which team do you want to see advance. But I'm wondering, again, if, like I asked you earlier, are you watching? There's a lot. This is the sports. Like last night was the sports equinox where everybody played. NFL, Thursday Night Football. NHL, slate of games. NBA, slate of games. Baseball, playoffs.
Yeah.
So everybody's playing. And so there's a lot of competition. And baseball's got to deal with it.
Was it hockey?
I said the NHL.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of competition for eyeballs, obviously, on a sport that is in its playoffs. I mean, this is where you think, you know, the NBA is barely started. The NHL just got started. And it's Thursday Night Football between the Browns and the Broncos. And they didn't even have their starters on the Browns. So my question to you is, are you watching?
I'm like a buffet. I'm like consuming every little bit of everything.
So you're just jumping around.
But it's going to stay at football, like, because that's what I rock with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I
rock with.
That's
your personal
appeal. Basketball is second, but if it ain't the teams that I really, really root for, then is that – baseball is just – I can't watch it straight through.
So baseball is like something you parachute in, like you kind of jump in, yeah, jump out with it, yeah, like check in.
First inning.
Like, baseball's become like golf on Sunday. Like, the final round of golf, you can't sit through the whole thing. You got too much to do.
Yeah.
So what you do is you kind of check in the beginning, and then you watch the leaderboard, and then once you know somebody's towards the – all right, maybe he has a chance to win, I'll catch the last couple of holes.
And then you can,
baseball might be the same thing. Get to the seventh inning, now maybe I might check
and
in.
And you read the cliff notes. Oh, what happened?
Yeah.
How do we get here?
I mean, it might be. Now, here's something to keep an eye on, too. The ratings are always the thing we gauge, is America watching?
Mm-hmm.
So – the ALCS game one. It's Red Sox, so it's Boston. You got a big market, passionate for their baseball. Against the Astros, who's been in it every freaking year for the last 5 years, right? So also on the same network, Fox. And they did on game one a 3-4 rating with over 6 million viewers. Now, that was better than last year. But last year's game one, remember, was Tampa and Astros. And it was on TBS. And it went up against Sunday Night Football. So there's a lot of things that went against it.
Yeah.
Plus, of course, the NBA Finals was going on because of the way the schedule's messed up. So it's better to compare this year's ALCS Game 1 rating, which they said did very well, to the one in 2019, the last time we were in the normal schedule of life, of sports life. And that was Astros-Yankees. So similar to Boston, a big market that was involved along with the Astros. Also on Fox, is 6% ratings drop from 2 years ago. It's a big drop.
Yeah.
All right? That's a big deal. So... now, viewership went up a tick, but the rating is, of course, what matters most for baseball. So you wonder if this is really – this is supposed to be their prime time of viewing, and yet there's so much going on. People steal – like the NFL and NBA steal audiences away.
Why would you want to compete with that? Like, so, I mean, I understand you don't want to run from a league because baseball and football is not going to – I mean, basketball and football isn't going to ask for your permission.
Yeah.
But you got to admit that, listen, you're not the number one, number two sport in North America. So if you want to get more eyes on it, you're going to have to move your schedule slightly back a little bit so you're not competing against that.
I just don't know how they do that. Do you play day games for playoffs? Do you do more of that? Like, how do you possibly avoid
nobody's home.
Going up against the NBA and the NFL? But clearly – the pastime is no longer that. It is now a regional sport and a niche sport, and they have to live with it. Welcome back, Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline in 12 minutes. Tracy Morgan is going to join us, and we'll have a lot to talk about with him. He was at the Garden on Wednesday night and had a lot of fun as the Knicks started the season. They continue it tonight, and the NBA season is underway. And as the NBA season is underway, this is the 75th anniversary of the NBA. So they revealed, like they did in the 50th anniversary, they did a all-time 50 greatest players. They did now a 75 greatest players. And this list has all 50 from the 50th anniversary. So everybody that was on the 50th anniversary team was carried over. So that leaves 25 slots for the next 25 years. So current players or active players that are that made this, Steph Curry, you mentioned, KD, not a shock. James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard, Chris Paul. Like, you know, you have, you know, the names that you would expect to be on this team. There's 11 in total. And LeBron James, of course, I didn't mention, but it's, I think, clear he'd be on it. Russell Westbrook, would you be surprised? I mean, he averaged triple-double, I guess. He's won an MVP. Kawhi Leonard, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Carmelo Anthony. That had some people, like, questioning it. I didn't. Anthony Davis, I believe, would be the youngest, right? Or is Giannis younger than Anthony Davis?
Yeah.
And then Damian Lillard, which also got people's attention because Kyrie Irving was not selected. So that, I think the argument begins is like, you know, the snubs. It begins on who made it over somebody that didn't. But everybody from, again, like I said, all 50 members of the 50th anniversary team, which they did in 96.
How did I don't know how to – well – Dikembe,
I'm
going
to give you names, and you're going to say to me, like, who? Like Paul, you know, like Paul Arizin, you've never heard of him, right? But that's an original player in the league, like great from the 50s that I know. It was a different game, right? Bob Cousy, George Mikan, Dolph Shays. You know, most people today, Bob Pettit, I'll give you. Like, you've heard of Bill Russell. You know Jerry West. But when I give you those names, maybe you know Cousy. Maybe you know Mikan. But some of those other names, you're like, who's that? And how could he get on the team and not Kyrie Irving or not, Dikembe Mutombo? But I also think it's your impact. How about Yao Ming? I mean, Yao Ming and his impact. Well, right? So six international players.
About players. I don't know if it's about the impact or the eyes or the marketing.
But when he played, he was – I mean, I know he got
healthy
hurt.
Long enough. Yeah.
You're right.
Like,
still.
It's like I wish that I could have got to see Sabonis, you know, a lot earlier, come to the States a lot better.
That's
like,
what happened.
Well,
he
came to Shaq sooner. And how he could shoot the three. He was the first
so good.
Guy. Yeah.
He made the game. He
was
looked,
so old.
So, he made it look so easy. The only international players, there were six of them. That was right. Giannis.
It's got to be Parker.
Dirk.
Put Parker on there. Right?
Nope. Tony Parker, not. He's also, that's famous. Another name, right? So Tony Parker's another name that you would say, wait a minute, the guy only did is win championship.
And he put up numbers.
Tim Duncan, Steve Nash, who's Canadian, Hakeem, and Patrick Ewing, who is originally from Jamaica. So that's the six. That's it. So with that in mind, right. Yao Ming, again, that's another name you could argue. If you want to give me Dikembe, I'm going to give you Yao Ming. You know, Dikembe, like, wasn't...
He was a specialist.
He, a tremendous defensive player, no doubt about it. But there's always that. There's levels, of course, to greatness. But that is one, again, that a lot of people are going to argue because that's what we do when we have these lists.
Yeah, Moses Malone.
But I told you, I can give you names from years and years and years ago, and you're going to ask, like, how? Who's that? Paul Pierce, by the way, does he belong
the truth
there?
Don't believe
people
me.
Were going after him on Twitter.
Kevin Garnett.
But he doesn't believe there. KG is on there.
Okay.
Yes. KG's on there. You know, again, Jason Kidd. You know, these are names that are obvious. Allen Iverson.
Is Ray Allen on there?
Ray Allen is on that list. Okay. Yes. And he should. He's an all-time great, don't you think?
Yeah. Ben Sanity not being on there. Vince was just, like, right at the cusp of being superstar.
To me, he's a bubble guy. Like, he's there. You can make an argument for him, but somebody would have to be dropped off.
What about
Gary
Tracy?
Payton, the club? No.
Tracy
no
McGrady.
Tracy McGrady. No. No, he's not on there either. Your guy,
what
Isaiah
about Penny
Thomas.
Hardaway? Anthony.
Penny Hardaway. I don't believe so.
Yeah, Anthony's
no.
not on there.
No.
Grant
Another
Hill's
guy
not
that
on
got
there,
hurt
got
a lot.
Hurt.
Yeah, I think that also was a big impact. So, as we say goodbye to ESPN+, Tracy Morgan joins us next.